You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to host this show. Couldn't be more excited. Hey, if you followed us on Raised in Wisco, thanks for still being here. We have undergone an incredible change and expansion. The show is now Raised in the Woods because we are not just limited to the state of Wisconsin. We have expanded across the great Midwest. Our logo has changed. Some faces have changed. The show is bigger, brighter, bolder than ever. Everything about the great outdoors of the Midwest, how to experience it, how to have fun in it, how to use it, how to bring it inside to the table, how to field, forage, hunt, fish, camp, kayak, you name it, in the outdoors of the Midwest. We bring in experts. We're not experts ourselves. That I can guarantee you.
But we will show
you. You like to think you are. Well, you're an expert in one area.
No, I'm a control freak.
Oh, difference. Is there a difference? I'm not sure. Speaking of control freaks, we have an awesome guest this week. Now they're both wondering which one we're talking about.
No, there's a lot of finger pointing going on.
Hey, we've got some fantastic changes with Raised in the Woods as we expand into the markets of Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa. And we want to welcome all the new listeners to the new show, Raised in the Woods. I couldn't be more excited about bringing our message, our humor, our missteps in the woods, our successes, our failures, and our food. Mm. And that is why we're so excited about our new co-host, Chef Ellie Lawton, award-winning, acclaimed, certified French culinarian. Chef Ellie Lawton is taking the helm as the co-host. Well, it's all correct. Yeah. You really quite the voice for the culinary world in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest. And you work, you are a corporate chef for one of the largest food producers and food distributors in the country.
Yeah, I
love it. So having you along and having our folks along to learn the best way to take what this Midwest has to offer in its waters and woods and bringing it to the dinner table is, for me, a real treat because food is my favorite dish. And I'm pretty excited today. We have a new possibly recurring, we'll see how it goes, member of the show, Sarah Marinas. And I had a chance to meet this woman who's part homesteader, part go-getter, mom, and someone who's interested in the outdoors who hasn't necessarily had a ton of experiences in the outdoors. And after just one dinner having with her, I said, you got to be on the show because number one, nobody's going to believe that that's your real voice. First of all.
Well, it's really good to be here. I jump and then think. So I was like, yeah, that sounds great. So send me the address.
It's perfect.
Well, we wanted to make sure there was somebody with a certifiable Midwest accent on the show. So Sarah, appreciate that. And I have to tell you folks, that is her real voice. I'm not joking about that. And the fact that you have had the experiences around this Midwest and around the world, around the globe, you have a fantastic story. And I'm sure your stories are going to make their way into the show very often. And
they'll creep in.
Yeah.
I think they'll more than creep. I'm going to make this disclaimer right off the bat, just in having talked to Sarah, in the time leading up to the show. Do not be offended with what she says because you will never know what she's going to come out of her mouth. And
wow, Sarah, I don't even get a disclaimer.
I know.
That's pretty great.
After dinner, I came home and I said, Tyler, they encourage me to do everything that I get in trouble for.
Well,
Jacob just cut her mic, probably.
I was just going to say, Jacob, keep your hand on the mute button back in the studio. Of course, we want to welcome Jacob is back in the home fishbowl at Civic Media. steering the ship for us when we get aground or off course. But keep your hand on the mute button when Sarah talks, because God only knows what she's going to say.
Jacob is now guiding us through the woods.
Yes, he is. Jacob's our guide through the woods. And I want to give Jacob some credit. We have a new logo for Raised in the Woods. You're going to see it on our Facebook page. And when you watch us on Facebook and when you see photos, you did a fantastic job with that, Jacob. I really appreciate it.
The thing I'm most excited about with the logo is that I had about 10 minutes before the first show to come up with a logo, and it turned out to be something that everybody liked a lot. So that was a big
confidence booster for me. Okay, we weren't supposed to tell people that.
No, well, Jacob, I didn't know you were such an artist.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The new Raised in the Woods encompasses all the states we're expanding into in the Civic Media family. And it's just fantastic. And as always, Jacob, it's great to have you. And it's great to have Noah Morris. Noah Morris from Morris
I
Original.
I actually like that.
In Noah Morris?
Yeah.
Noah Mora. Maybe that could be his radio name. He doesn't have a mic this week, so we'll never know how he feels about it.
No Lannis Morissette.
No, I don't mind that.
That's a stage name.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic?
Karaoke name.
Oh, dad joke number one.
Wow, busting him out early.
Hey,
congrats.
You know, for the new show and the new year, I really couldn't think of a more quintessential, awesome guest to have than a member of the police force. Well, I'm kidding. He was. Did you know? Todd Schaller. He's been a guest on the show before. Todd Schaller spent 32 years in law enforcement for the Department of Natural Resources.
That's incredible.
And spent a large portion of that later in his career as the chief warden. So that's the boss of all of the you in the woods and the fields. And
we appreciate your service. That's a lot to handle for a long time.
Well, we're going to get through the interviews first and see if we still appreciate it.
We do. Absolutely.
We do. You know what? The thing that I love about Todd, honestly, and I'm not blowing smoke, Todd is one of those guys who understands that the warden's role or the warden's role should be to encourage abiding of the law and the rules while still encouraging the use of the outdoors. Yeah. And Todd,
that's a fine balance.
That's a very fine balance. I want to start, I want to start out with that. Hold that question, because we're going to do our Wild of the Week first. Sure. But I want you to think a little bit about what it means to have that balance as an officer, because I think one of the criticisms that comes to police officers in the field is that they don't share that balance. They're either too easy on folks, or they're far too hard. They're walking into a field with the hopes of giving a ticket. So we're going to get to that, but we have a new segment on every show called the Wild of the Week. It used to be called the Weekly Wisco, and now we're the Wild of the Week. So let's start with Sarah. Did you do anything in the outdoors past week that you were excited about? What do you got?
We always go for a walk around the neighborhood after the boys get out of school, just to get their wiggles out and vitamin D. But I know that's not too exciting. So the more exciting one, my oldest is getting into photography, and all our boys always get a one-on-one date and get to pick what it is. So Wyatt chose to go in the woods at Nature Hill and take pictures of wildlife and put his new camera under the water. And he started taking underwater pictures.
Really?
That's exciting.
Were you worried about when he was taking something you guys had given him and putting it in the water?
Because it's waterproof.
Well, a lot of stuff says that. Yeah.
We put it to you.
Sarah strikes me as the type of person that just goes for it.
I'm very type B. I'm as type B as they come.
Yeah.
Throw it in there. Let's see what happens.
That's a great one.
I love it.
Chef Lawton, how did you get in the outdoors this week?
Well, we had some beautiful sunshine this past week, and I was out soaking up every second. If I wasn't in the kitchen, I was out in the sunshine, and it was absolutely beautiful. I did some winter hiking. I took my dogs out. I, of course, as always, took care of the horses in the sunshine, and it was wonderful. Really appreciate those Wisconsin rays in January. Yeah, I almost said December.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I did something that I'm actually kind of embarrassed to say was really one of the first times I've ever done it. I went rabbit hunting.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, I love big game hunting. I love waterfowl hunting, turkey hunting. You know, I love that. Mm-hmm. But I always kind of skipped over that initial phase. A lot of people get their start in the woods rabbit hunting. And this past week, I took the 410 Henry out with me, and I took my dog Fancy, my 12-year-old, who still loves to get under every crook and crevice out. And it was wonderful. I had a great time. I did not harvest a rabbit.
Did you see any critters?
She got her nose in a pile and almost got in a tangle with a muskrat.
Well, that's pretty close to a rabbit.
You know, in Europe, they sell muskrat fur and call it American sable.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Are muskrats mean?
Well, they can be, yes. Yeah. Okay. Fancy dog has gotten in a tangle with them before and come back all bloody.
Wow.
Muskrats. Yeah. But evidently, muskrats are very highly esteemed in Europe, especially Russia, and they call it American sable, and they make coats and things out of that, too. So, and I know some people who eat muskrat also.
Well, we muskcraft from the muskrat.
a dad joke from Jeff Lawton. That wasn't horrible.
Jacob didn't write it down, so it wasn't that great.
It's like, well,
they don't all stick.
Skim by
that was a half a point. I saw him start to draw, and then he just stopped. Forget it.
Chief there's Warden an eraser Shallot. On this, too, so don't worry.
Appreciate that.
It's on a dry, our dad joke count meter is on a dry erase board. Chief Warden Shallot, did you get out in the outdoors this past week?
I did. I was suffering from the depression with the close of hunting seasons.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
My dog was suffering from the close of hunting seasons. So on the weekend, my wife, Christy, and I went out to some state property and took the dog for a walk and a hike and soaked in some Wisconsin rays.
It was
a beautiful day.
Gosh, we were so spoiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Anytime you can get kind of a reprieve during January, February, where the weather breaks a little bit, get out there and enjoy it, because I don't go through seasonal affective depression. I go through hunting season depression. When the main hunting seasons are closed. But I'm also going to say, I think that's a great time to start exploring the roots of hunting. Yep. Get out there and rabbit hunt. I think crow is still open. Check your state. Yep. I don't know if that's true or not. That's a way definitely to sharpen your skills. A lot of states have still got small critter open. Yep. You know, squirrel, obviously, check your state. Rags, I don't want to encourage anyone
out
there.
How do you do that? Like, for me who doesn't hunt, would I just go...
Yeah, oh,
like
so
how do you know? Is there like a search button, like what can I kill today? Or do you have to look up every?
Now be careful if you put what can I kill today.
Right.
There's gonna be a lot of folks
today?
Opinions on that. But I have found that in Wisconsin, it's Go Wild. If you put Go Wild in the Google search bar, now a lot of states will have a Department of Natural Resources. Todd, have you worked with other states?
Yeah, there's a lot of states have apps. Where you can download their app, and then you can basically, like you just said, Google search squirrel season, and it'll tell you what the dates are of squirrel season and maybe some of the associated regulations. But to your point, and you know, particularly somebody who's new to it, it's not quick and easy. I mean, it takes some effort, it takes some thought, it takes some preparation, and somebody new probably is best to hook up with somebody who experienced and let them walk you through it and talk you through it until you get confident and move it on your own.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I'm very excited about having Sarah on the show, is because she is someone who's interested in doing more of the outdoor things like hunting and fishing. And this show welcomes everybody from novice to expert, to inexperienced, to get out there. And we are loving the fresh perspective on that. When we keep talking with former Chief Warden Todd Shallot, we're going to learn some of the inside tricks of what those wardens are using out there and what his take is on should you encounter a warden in any of the states on Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Do, re, mi, a good day in the woods, if you ask me, hunting doe during the doe season around here. That's
there's a
is
lot
that
of
too
them.
Much. A little Michael Jackson, a little do re mi.
That's not too much.
Yeah, we'll snap like in the it. Background for you.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, bring it on. Let's do it. My name's Joel Clayfish. This is Raised in the Woods. If you're new to the show, welcome. We talk about the great outdoors of the Midwest, how to enjoy it the most you can, and how to make the most out of it, whether you're just out there enjoying the weather or enjoying the beautiful parks in all of the states of Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa, and how to take your experiences from outside and put them on the dinner table. That's why this show has got a cooking segment for every show. And that's why we're so thrilled to have as co-host of this show, acclaimed certified French chef, Ellie Lawton. Chef Lawton. Am I putting a lot of pressure on you?
No. Gosh, I worked in kitchens. This is no pressure.
All right. Just checking.
I do have a little surprise, though, for the cooking segment today.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm very excited about
that. All of us are going to be involved in it, and nobody knows yet.
Yeah. Okay. No, we don't.
I love it.
Sarah Marinas is here. She's kind of a homesteader mom and really part of the show because we want to know what those of you who aren't into the outdoors like to know, like to learn. And Sarah, that's why you're here. How are you feeling so far?
I'm loving it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it? Is it not? Now, are you actually enjoying it, or is it just because you're getting a break from your four children between the ages of 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9?
Both. Okay. And I never lie out of convenience. If I didn't like it, I would tell you.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you would. I feel like
I would
you
say thank you
would.
For the invite, but this might be it.
You're firing us after what? You would fire us after one show? I'm glad to hear that's not happening yet.
What I'm super excited for is when spring turkey rolls around and we're going to be dragging Sarah out into the woods with us. And then she can come back and give all of our listeners a full recap because Sarah doesn't sugarcoat anything or hold anything back. So she will give everyone the full recap about what she thought her technically will be her second hunting experience.
Yes.
Her first one did not go well. She left in tears, actually.
What?
Yeah. So
what happened?
We're going to be starting from scratch.
I felt really rushed.
What? Hunting is anything
but details.
I went with my dad on some...
Shout out to Bob.
Yes. My dad is amazing. But he goes, we have to go. And I was just so confused about what we all had to get and put on and do. And he was very frustrated with me that we're going to get out there too late. And then I was like, okay, now climb that tree. I was just so confused and I didn't understand how it was going to go.
Okay.
And then I just sat in a cold tree, really tired.
Oh, yeah. Sarah, we are going to turn that around for you when we get you out in the blind with a heater and snacks.
And I had a stomach ache. That's why I was like, if I do need a bathroom quickly, can I tell you? Or do I just throw up off the tree? Can we call it a day?
Well, you wouldn't want to get caught for baiting if you threw up off of the tree, which brings me.
Yeah, would I get a ticket if I ate corn?
Oh, no. Well, you know.
Well, Todd, that's a legitimate question.
That is a legitimate question.
Former Chief Warden Todd Scheller, I want to know if you get sick in the stand and happen to lose your lunch and you ate corn, are you going to get a ticket for baiting?
No. What do you think the judge would say when you walked in with that
one? Oh,
sure.
You have to collect the evidence.
I would say there's mashed potatoes in there too. So let me off.
Oh dear.
Gosh, that actually presents a really curious dilemma. I wonder if that
my brain is busy right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Todd Scheller's with us today, former chief warden, 32 years with the warden force in Wisconsin. I don't think a lot of people realize this. You've got your city PD, your city police, mm-hmm. your county sheriff, your state trooper, and then you've got the warden force. I don't think most people realize that a warden for a state is the highest ranking official of a peace officer.
I don't know that we are, though. I think we all have equal duties and responsibilities.
But you guys have got more jurisdiction that covers everyone else's jurisdiction.
That's from that perspective, you're correct. Our jurisdictions are statewide, and I think all the states in the Midwest, I'm familiar with them talking to their chiefs when I was there. So yes, geographically, surface area wise, yeah, we have the largest jurisdiction. Our area of focus is different. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously focused down onto the hunting, fishing, the outdoors activities, state parks, hiking, boating, ATVs, and all those fun things.
Well, there's not a lot of you, so you have to split it up somehow, right? And have that focus in certain areas.
Yep, that's correct. And I think there's so many nuances, some things we're talking about here, that make it unique where you have to have that special force or special group that focuses on that type of work.
I asked you to get prepared for this question ahead of time because I want to know. I think one of the most dreaded things as a hunter to see is a warden walking into the woods you're in or a warden walking into the field. I am of the belief it shouldn't be that way.
Wait, that's only if you're doing something wrong.
I don't think that's true.
Oh,
no, I don't really? Think because that's you don't true. Know what you don't know.
Correct.
And
ding, ding, ding for Sarah.
Ignorance is not your get out of jail free card. And you're like, I did Google it, but what did I miss? Is this guy going to take my vehicle?
Well, that's a great point. But I'm looking at it as if I'm in the woods rabbit hunting, I know if the season's open, I have the proper firearm and ammunition. I'm wearing the proper clothing because to your point earlier, Todd, there's work that goes into it. There's preparation, there's work. Ooh. So I look at it from that side. If I encounter a warden in the woods, I'm okay with it.
I get that part, but I have a fantastic story. I was part of the legislature here in Wisconsin and a lead author of some legislation that the wardens didn't like. So were they vindictive when they approached me? Where does that thing come into it? I can't wait to ask the former chief warden, Todd Schaller. Folks, this is why it's fun on Raised in the Woods. Sweet dreams are made in the woods of the great states of Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, and Iowa. We leave the football rivalries aside. I'm going to start. Folks, if you're just joining us, welcome to Raised in the Woods. My name is Joel Clayfish, co-host of this show, of this sinking ship. I mean, of this ship with Chef Ellie Lawton at my side and Sarah Marinas, the homesteader mom, who comes along, and I can't get over your voice on the radio. I just, what's...
Is that a compliment?
Yes.
Well, I can't tell.
It's very unique, folks, and if you're wondering, in her other line of work, Sarah voices cartoons, so...
Send me an email if you want me to do a voiceover.
Today, we're talking to Todd Schaller, 32 years in law enforcement, but not just law enforcement, in enforcing natural resources laws throughout Wisconsin and had a great deal with folks in other states, mm-hmm. Working cross-jurisdictionally to get poachers and everything like that. And one of the things we started talking about that I'm fascinated to learn, and it's sparked a little bit of a debate among the panel, is when you are using the outdoors, using the natural resources, when you see a warden walk into a field or woods, I get the feeling, Chef Lawton says she does not get this feeling, I get the feeling of extreme anxiety and nervousness. What are they going to try to say I did wrong? I am as careful as I can, but you know, Sarah, you brought up a great point. Mm-hmm. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. What did you teach your guys and what did you live by, Chief Warden Todd Schaller, as to the attitude you have when you're walking in? Are you looking to find a violator? Are you looking to find something wrong? Or are you helping them to best enjoy it legally?
I think what you should be doing is you should be representing, you work for the people in the end, and you should be representing what they're doing, and you certainly shouldn't be looking for something wrong, unless you know there's something wrong. But in most cases, in a lot of cases, somebody out fishing, you just see them fishing. You're going to walk up and check their license and have the conversation. And I think you're right, Joel. I think most people in that situation, they get nervous. Whether they're doing something wrong or not, it just becomes an uncomfortable conversation. I think it's important, and I think most experienced law enforcement officers and wardens, they realize that. They realize there's some tension there, even though there may be no violation. But in the end, you know, you're there to serve the people. You're there to do a job. I think the one thing I always kept in my mind is the vast majority of the people that we talk to and deal with either are doing it right or want to do it right.
Yeah.
And
that's actually really encouraging to hear, because on the other side of this, that is a side that I definitely, as former chair of the Criminal Justice Committee in the Wisconsin legislature, I really relate to. On the other side of this, those people that wardens are approaching have a much higher percentage of having a loaded gun in their hands. And that has got to raise the ire of the law enforcement officer on the scene right off the bat, because any hunting scenario, it's automatic. They're holding a loaded gun.
Yep. Yeah. And there, I mean, in your approach, there's always a safety factor, regardless of who that is and,
sure,
and what that situation is. But I guess my point is that recognizing that, again, people are trying to do it right. And that doesn't say that we go in and we're not thinking about our personal safety or the safety of others and how we position ourselves and those type of things. But fairly quick in a conversation, you get a sense of how that conversation is going to go and how that conversation is going to play out and what type of person you're dealing with and talking to. We talked earlier today about, the BS radar and that going off. Mm-hmm. And I think most law enforcement officers have a pretty good gauge of that, or that sixth sense or that hair that goes up on the back of your neck, that when you're in a conversation, you realize that, you know, this isn't just mom and dad out fishing and having a great time and they caught their three bugalils and they got their license and you're going to go, this is probably going to be something different, or the conversation's going to go a different direction. But
are you calling back up at that point?
It depends upon how you're reading it. You talked earlier about everybody you talk to has a weapon, gun, knife, if they're a fisherman. Probably and it's true on a national scale, conservation law enforcement is probably one of the most dangerous. Because of that, because you're oftentimes working by yourself, you're working in remote areas, you don't necessarily have backup immediately.
I was going to ask, who is backup? Would that be the police, or is that DNR adjacent people?
It's typically going to be the law enforcement officer from that jurisdiction. So if you're in a city, it's the city police. If you're in the county, you know, the county sheriff, maybe you have another warden in the county you share with and they're nearby, but your closest responder is probably going to be a non-conservation warden. It's going to be the sheriff or a city police. When you get that sense that this isn't going to go the way you want to, you definitely want to get your backup on the way and get them, you know, aware of one, where you are, because you might not be on the corner of 3rd Street in Maine. You might be, you know, on the river, off of this
road.
At the
47th parallel on the, yes.
Yep. Go down the field lane until you hit the 3rd Oak, and then take the 3rd Oak, go right. And when you hit the river, cross the river, I'm right over there.
That's so tricky. Yeah.
So Todd, if you could tell our listeners a couple tips on what to do if they're getting approached by someone from the DNR, a warden. I'm going to backtrack actually for a second. So the last couple of years that I've been teaching hunter safety, we're blessed to have a warden come in and talk to our young folks and our people taking hunter safety class about what to do. And hey, don't be scared. Don't fumble with your weapon. Don't unload your weapon right away. Just freeze. And we're just having a conversation. Yep. We're not, like you said, we're not necessarily out there looking for something to point out that you're doing wrong and get you in trouble. So what would you tell our listeners?
I think the biggest thing, and you say this knowing it's easier said than done, is just relax. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to talk you through what we need you to do, depending upon your situation. You know, if we want to see your gun, we'll explain that, why we want to see it. So it's really just be yourself, let that situation kind of play out. If you have questions, hey, you know, my gun is loaded, what would you like me to do with it? Ask those questions and be part of the conversation. And when they explain to you, hey, I need to see your license. This is why, you know, follow through with that ask of them, or explain why you don't have it or what the situation would be. But it, as best it can, again, I know it's easier said than done, is just be relaxed, be comfortable, and let that conversation play out. And that's really what it starts out as, a conversation.
Yeah, certainly.
What are the consequences? If it does it range from a ticket? Because I know the one that I always heard of that was scared, like if you're fishing and you shouldn't be or you do something, they can confiscate your boat and truck. Yeah. So where does it, go from like a $30 fine to we're taking everything, or most more in the middle?
The range of options it really depends upon the circumstances and the situation. Oftentimes, you know, if it's a low level violation, it's a conversation, educational opportunity. And there's no paperwork exchange. If it's something that warrants a citation, it could be a ticket similar to speeding ticket, driving ticket, you know, a fine and a court cost. You know, when you start to move into the areas where somebody is purposely, intentionally, knowingly violating the laws, and doing it at a high level, that's when you get into seizure of a gun or seizure of a boat. And that is only done as collection of evidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think so, when you get to that level, there's already been eyes on that situation. There's already been X, Y, and Z collected along the way.
Yep.
You've gotten tips.
You're not just pulling up
and taking someone's truck because this is the first time you've seen them, unless they're doing something super crazy. But I can't imagine how it would go from zero to that level.
I want to talk about, I want to talk about my most embarrassing moment in the woods for me. I was turkey hunting solo by myself. I shot at ATOM on the decoys, and an errant pellet from where I shot hit and killed another Tom. I killed two birds with one stone, right? The old adage. And the first thing I did was call the warden. I called the warden, reported it. The warden I got on the phone said, look, thank you for your honesty. Appreciate it very much. We don't really cite for over harvest. I was a member of the Wisconsin House of Representatives at the time. It was done with that. I went to church. I remember after church got a call and heard, and you were not chief warden at the time, by the way. I want to clarify that. Todd was not chief warden at the time, and got because of the position you hold, we're going to have to give you a ticket for that. And I thought to myself, I was a little concerned because someone else could have read that situation as I shouldn't have done the right thing. And I think a tough thing for you guys is walking that balance of the ticket to learn versus the appreciation for honesty. And I think that is a very tough decision for hunters and anglers to make when they're in the field. But that was the most embarrassing. I held public office at the time. I was chairing committees at the time. That became a statewide story at the time when I said, geez, I was just trying to do the right thing. What advice do you have, and how much, and I'm just curious, because there was a notable change when you became the chief warden. There was a notable change of how wardens treated people in the field. I won't say softer, but I will say kind of a more understanding approach, it seemed to me. How much does an attitude of an individual warden who's having a bad day or a rough day or upset about something, how much does his personal beliefs affect that? And is it okay for that to be the case?
It really shouldn't come into a factor or a play. You know, that's, you have a job to do. You need to do it at the highest level of professionalism, regardless of how bad a day you've had. That said, you know, I think in any job, we know if you have a bad day, it's going to impact how you able to do your job. But in the end, we all need to be professional. We all need to, we know what our role is. We know what the job is. And we need to do that regardless of kind of what happened prior to that contact or what might happen after that contact.
Former Chief Warden Todd Schaller is with us, 32 years on the Warden Force. You are a fountain of knowledge. I wish we had 3 hours to just sit and talk and ask questions of you. I want to ask you, And I appreciate the way you did your job. And I also really appreciate that since you have been retired, you work so hard for conservation in this state. You are a true believer, a true user of the natural resources, and somebody who really works their tail off to make sure we get new hunters, anglers, and folks using the outdoors. So I can't escape mentioning that. I want to ask you, what are the most important things facing the Midwest right now as we lose outdoor users?
I think the biggest challenge is, as we lose outdoor users, is trying to figure out how do we continue to fund conservation. Without license fees and with less people buying licenses, how do we continue to provide habitat, improve habitat, management of our game species and those type of things.
That's really tricky in part because I don't think the average citizen understands how much the hunter and the fisherman support those things, help the walking trails, the hiking trails, the waters and woods of the Midwest. That's why this show is fascinating. Oh, I can't wait for the surprise recipe. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Raised in the Woods, the fastest hour on television. On the radio.
What?
That's what I meant.
We're on TV. I didn't even know.
Well, we are. If you check us out on our Facebook page, Raised in the Woods, you can watch our shenaniganry from the studio, the Fishbowl in Concord, Wisconsin, in the heart of the Midwest. Raised in the Woods, the new show, used to be Raised in Wisco. Now we are Raised in the Woods because of our ever-growing Civic Media family into Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa. Lots of great football rivalries. But here on the show,
lots
of great parks in all the surrounding states. Mm-hmm. We are here because we want to welcome you and help you enjoy the awesome outdoors of the Midwest. Everything from what to do, how to do it. We've got a chief warden, Todd Schaller, on the show today. You heard from him about the best ways to interact with wardens should you come across them in the field. But now we are getting to one of my favorite parts of every week, and that is the cooking segment with certified French culinary chef Ellie Lawton.
I'm very excited about this.
Why does everything end up being about food to me? It is
because food is the greatest thing. It is the one thing that brings all of us together.
It's the one thing that bonds everybody. I don't care if you're conservative, liberal, fascist, or communist. You still got to eat at the end of the day, don't you?
You can have the worst day, sit down with people you actually enjoy and have a great meal, even a mediocre meal, and it's the best time ever.
Yes,
I mean, come on.
Is.
It's wonderful. So
what do we got?
So I don't have a recipe today.
What? What?
Yeah. So I have a little trickery up my sleeve.
Well, I was wondering when you were thinking about it, and I was like, oh, now you sound prepared and confident.
Now you are making me a little concerned as the host of the show. What have you got? What have you got up your sleeve,
so,
Chef Lawton?
I have a little challenge for all of us, okay? I'm going to put us all on the spot. So I want to go around the panel and I want to hear from you guys. What is one dish and one ingredient that you are planning to explore in 2026? Whether it's cooking a new version of wild game, checking out a new ingredient at the grocery store, maybe checking out one of the many, many things that are grown here in the Midwest.
Oh, I'm ready.
I got
that. Yeah.
Sarah
Marinas, the new homesteader on the show. It doesn't surprise me you've got something.
Well,
at the
Sarah
top
has
of your
a big
head.
Family never... to cook for, so she probably constantly has to come up with ideas of how to feed these hungry
how
boys
to feed
at
it,
home.
How to hide it? So this
how to
is
hide
our
it. Oh, how to hide it.
Like hide the good stuff in food. I'm not going to say, hey, there's beef liver in your taco meat.
Oh,
I'm
that's
going to hide it.
And sounds good.
Throw it in there.
Yes.
This is our second year getting a cow, and because I'm cheap, I say anything you'll give me, I'll take. So I have tongue in my freezer and
ooh,
a heart.
I like
it's
it.
A staple in my house.
Oh, okay.
I love so the I thought, food that can taste you back.
Yeah. So
nothing like a colic, hey?
Girlfriend Nikki, she's Mexican, and she has a really good recipe for it. So I gave her my tongue. So we'll get that on the books, and she's going to teach me.
Oh, and it's wonderful. You're going
to
love it.
I don't know what to do with my beef liver other than hide it in ground beef. Because I heard you have to put it in cream for a while and then I'll forget about it and have to throw it away because it's disgusting.
No.
No. So beef liver is delicious.
You tried pate tonight, so you can make a fantastic pate with the beef liver.
You can have a pate parte.
Yeah. I love hosting parties.
And you
parties.
Can call your friend.
And Joel can come and tell dad jokes.
And you can be speaking in tongues about
tongues
for dinner.
You could be a sommelier of liver.
That's right.
What liver do we want to test, guys?
A sommelier livre.
Yeah.
Sarah, that's good. So cow tongue is going to be your adventure.
And heart. I know heart is really big.
Wonderful.
Like, heart that's delicious.
So tough. Like, I don't even know what I would do with that.
Oh, it's
wow.
But I've got two of them now.
Slice it thinly and you can put it on skewers and grill it. Oh my goodness.
That sounds amazing. Okay. Chef,
things I already have I want to cook.
I love it. Former Chief Warden Todd Schaller.
Todd, what do you
got?
You
got anything you guys would like to experience in your home that you think you'd try?
Her conversation about tongue and heart took me to my childhood, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
My dad would, after deer season, would always pickle a cow tongue and the deer heart.
Ooh, that sounds
together?
Delicious
together.
To me.
Thinly sliced.
Yeah.
Had a brine that he pickled in, and it was on saltine crackers as a kid.
That sounds absolutely delicious.
Do you cook it before you pickle it, or is it raw?
I was 10 years old at the time. Yeah. I have no idea.
We could ask the chef. If you pickle tongue,
would you have to cook it?
That brine acts as the cooking agent, correct?
Yeah, yes? Well, and you're heating it up before you seal it.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Which is so funny, Todd, because that's actually going to be one of my adventures this year. So kind of nostalgic, back to my childhood, my uncle used to can venison, and it was so wonderful, and I've never actually done it myself. So that is a challenge I'm going to do this year, is to can some venison and also come up with some new recipes with duck and goose hearts and livers.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
So that's my challenge.
I guess it's up to me. You know what I love doing? See, this, I'm going to have the most boring answer because one of the things I love about this show is we don't stick in the box of, oh, you got a deer backstrap, you know, butter and onions.
Which is good.
Which is always easy and good. But I have really enjoyed us taking our culinary experiences to other cultural foods.
Yes.
So I am going to concentrate, and this is a little bit motivated by Todd Schaller's wife, Christy, who said they made a butter pheasant
pheasant
paneer.
Yes.
So I would really like to start making more Indian and Far Eastern dishes with the wild game, because I think people overlook wild game. And if you go to, you know, an Asian restaurant, an Indian restaurant, they very often use meats that we don't commonly use here, such as goat. Goat is very common.
It's wonderful.
Or lamb is very common. We get mutton and sheep. I hunt goats quite a bit, and I'm always wondering kind of what to do with that. So I'm really excited about
that. And that's the top trend in cuisine right now.
I did not know that, but that doesn't surprise me.
Side note, I hate goat.
We'll change your mind.
We're
going to change
Africa,
your mind.
That's all we ate.
Well, we're going to change your mind.
It's like chewing on a tire.
To talk to Sarah about her East African adventures raised in the woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.